There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. With the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on assignment. We have a guest host, Desiree.
Bonjour.
This is podcast number 426, May 16th, 2010. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/F1Weekly or click on the link on our homepage. Over 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod, iPhone, or MP3 player. Listen to one. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen.
Darn it. Listen to one.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, Schumacher handed a 22nd penalty. A Renault-dominated podium. Why is Fernando making mistakes? Stephen, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Not too bad. Des, what's going down in the beautiful beaches of Northern California?
They're beautiful, like the beaches of Monte Carlo. It's a beautiful day everywhere.
Fantastic, as we are in Monte Carlo.
We are fantastic. Oh, okay, yeah.
God, what a glorious, glorious jewel in the crown and all that. I mean, it is exciting.
It's a phenomenal weekend.
It is a great weekend.
It's like, right where? There's not going to be any rain here for months, it looks like.
It's just wonderful. And the ambiance.
The timing of Cannes, whoever does that, where the Cannes Film Festival
and Cannes.
Then right, then have the, Monte Carlo Grand Prix. It's great. It's a great engineering there because then all the stars just flow over.
And all the stars and the Scooby-Doos and the pampered puppets.
The most crowded grid in the, year.
Yep. But it is exciting. I certainly look forward to this race every year. Because it's so fun. Now, usually we share this weekend with the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah, well, typically it's Memorial Day weekend in the States.
But apparently they moved Monaco back a couple of weeks, so...
Actually moved it up 2 weeks.
Whatever you say, Stephen. Indianapolis 500 has not happened yet.
Right, so they've moved up the Monte Carlo Grand Prix.
It has to go with Cannes, that's why.
Okay, I understand. Yeah. Well, they're always together anyway.
yeah, exactly.
So, outstanding qualifying, and of course, the big tragedy of the weekend, final Friday practice, Fernando Alonso not knowing what he was thinking, but makes a big mistake.
Decides to rip the entire right side of the car off.
Ah, pendejo.
Damaging the whole chassis, including... The gearbox.
Yeah, he basically, I never really saw a clean shot of what happened, but the next thing you know, he's just up against the rail. And
what happened is he's going pretty quickly, and he got into the dirty side on the right, and it was over because when you try to turn, it didn't turn, it went straight and went right into the Armco. Very hard.
Yeah, well, I did see shots of his right rear tire rolling down the center of the track while he was against the wall.
Right. So,
and he had been going fastest in all the practices. He was the man to beat, and then that happened.
Tragedy. So another mistake from Alonso, quite shocking to be honest with you, especially the jump start, which was his first jump start ever that I'd ever seen.
Yep.
And now this in the principality when everybody knows that pole position is key.
Yeah, and we know that the way he's been going this weekend, he's probably one or two. He's probably going to start in the first row, whether he is able to edge out one of the Red Bulls for that spot. But, it could have been the first weekend that we didn't have a Red Bull on pole. But, just really disappointing. And I think the other thing that was a little bit tedious is that I swear anytime they cut away from the track during all of qualifying, they went to Fernando Alonso's face in the garage.
That's true. Fernando is a pretty popular guy. Yeah. Not so much on the BBC, but still, the Formula One crew, him in the headphones in the garage as a spectator.
Yeah.
What do they call it when you get the red mist or whatever when you work for Ferrari, or you get like red fever or something? Maybe, isn't there some kind of condition that happens to you when you work for Ferrari? Maybe that's what Fernando has. Red fever.
And fever!
Could be. You know, there is the possibility, you know, considering he's racing for the team that he supposedly wanted to race for as a child, there's probably a little bit of adrenaline every time he sits into the car, and well, it may be fogging his mind a little
bit. He's a professional, Stephen. That's past. He needs to perform. The problem is I think he's trying a little bit too hard, like other drivers, like Lewis Hamilton occasionally, and this happens to some of the best of them. So let's move on. Fernando made a mistake, and he will start from the pit lane in last place.
Yep, they can't fix the car in time for him to participate in quali.
Exactly. The weather's perfect. Now, the big issue before this quali session started was traffic. Everybody was concerned. They wanted to split the Q1 segment into two 10-minute segments. But in the end, nobody could agree on it because it has to be a unanimous decision from all the teams.
And after watching the first session, what was all the hoopla about?
It was pretty standard. I mean, there was some traffic here and there, but nothing out of the ordinary.
No, nothing. Nobody got balked, you know, at least in this session. Nothing odd, you know. The six cars that we expect to be out with Fernando already starting at the back of the pack. Well, the first one's out, as typical. Though Lotus is showing a little bit of promise in that they're finishing the session about 0.3 ahead of Virgin, who's directly behind them, and then HRT's about another second behind them. So not a lot of improvement for either of those teams this weekend. Not really expected, considering it's back-to-back weekends for these teams.
Exactly. In the end, I just want to take note that Vitantonio Liuzzi he's another one that has to out-qualify his teammate this weekend. Adrian Sutil has been doing an outstanding job. Force India has been doing a great job.
Oh, yeah. Their car has been solid. They're, you know, solid, basically 9-10 kind of guys this season. Been out-qualifying the Williams reasonably consistently. And they're also, you know, making poor Vitaly Petrov look slow.
Well, Vitaly Petrov has some issues. He's had some issues all weekend.
All season.
But he does manage to not wreck the car.
Exactly.
Before getting to qualifying.
Exactly. So we can't complain too much. Also, lost my train of thought.
Oh, well, I was going to say something about Tonio. Speaking of Tonio, he was celebrating his 50th Grand Prix.
Correct.
Special helmet, I think, helmet design.
Yeah,
so.
Well, he got some of it was gold.
That's right, gold. I'm wearing my bling today. You got to have bling in Monte Carlo. So that was what Tonio was, his 50th race.
Which is kind of interesting because you think, wow, he's already to 50? You know, he was 2.5 years at Toro Rosso, and then he's only been, you know, he's only basically raced half a season with Force India, and he's already gotten to 50.
It goes fast, Stephen. 5 minutes to go. It's Felipe Massa, Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, Nico Rosberg, and Vitantonio Liuzzi in the top five.
Yeah, Vitantonio definitely looking a little bit quicker this weekend than he has in previous weekends.
Absolutely. And out in Q1 are all your favorites. Karun Chanduk, Bruno Senna, Luca Di Grassi, Timo Glock, Jarno Trulli, Heikki Kovalainen, and Fernando Alonso.
Interesting that Karun Chanduk finished the session almost an entire second behind Bruno Senna.
But he's still trying.
Yeah, well, I think this track suits Bruno a little bit better. It's a little
but
bit
Bruno
more
does well here. He won a GP2 race here. Bruno,
I mean, he's being assisted by the ghost of his uncle on this track,
right?
Since his uncle was just you know,
the top,
money,
the
at
top
this
winner,
course.
Yeah,
six times he won this race. So.
And at the end of Q1, we all came to the conclusion that traffic wasn't that big of a deal.
No, certainly wasn't in this session. I don't recall any point. You saw a couple of times where people were, you know, slowing down on the traffic, get ahead of them. But we see that everywhere.
It was no worse than anywhere else, right?
I agree. Let's go right to Q2. Everybody hits the track very quickly. I thought Vitaly Petrov looked pretty good, and I'm trying to keep an open mind. 10 minutes to go. It was Robert Kubica, Nico Rosberg looking outstanding.
He had a really good lap
in Q2.
In Q2.
Yeah, even though it's Shumi's car that was changed for Shumi, he wrapped his mind around it, and he was racy.
Yeah, Felipe Massa was third, Michael Schumacher fourth, Mark Webber rounded off the top five. With 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go in Q2, Vitaly Petrov hits the barrier. No big destruction or anything, but it brings out a yellow flag. I yell out, "You're fired."
It's like, dude, if you weren't bringing so much money to the team, you'd be gone.
Well, you know, he is trying. He's trying to keep up with a very good teammate.
Yeah. Well, an exceptionally good teammate. He ends up qualifying a second and a half behind his teammate when all is said and done this weekend. Really tough. Robert's a really good driver. Robert's got the experience. I think Vitaly Petrov could have probably used another season in GP2 just to become a little bit more seasoned.
Another season for seasoning?
Exactly.
Well, Steven.
That's why they call it seasoning.
Okay, I'm going to have a little salad later
on. I know, I'm hungry.
At the end of this session, and it was Nico Rosberg, Felipe Massa, Mark Webber, Lewis Hamilton, and Robert Kubica. And Nico Rosberg looked so smooth that I think in his mind he was convinced he was going to go for pole.
You know,
and he had the rhythm. Everything was going his way.
The Mercedes is running pretty good on this track, but we kind of know that that's going to be tough for him to get pole, because we can see that the RBRs are quick as they have been all season. And then we've got this yellow card that seems to be keep sneaking into the top three or four of cars on the grid this weekend, and it's like everybody's kind of going, where do these guys come from?
Well, they keep talking about the Renault motors.
Yep.
Drivability, Stephen.
Power curve.
And you know what? Back in the day, this was talked about as well. Renault having good drivability.
They may not have the straight line speed, but they can do all the other stuff.
They've got the good low end.
In Monaco, it's very critical. But Nico Rosberg did look very good. And of course, I thought Red Bull, having taken pole position in all the races so far, that, you know, you can't keep that up. The numbers start stacking up against you. And I thought it would be hard to believe that if they could just do it again.
They were due not to be on the
exactly.
first row.
And I thought, you know, something different's going to happen. And that's why I predicted maybe Robert Kubica could pull a rabbit out of his hat.
Squeak, because he's looked really good in practice. You know, he's been very very racy, very competitive with the Red Bulls this weekend. So it was a good question mark. But out in the second session are Nico Hülkenberg, Adrian Sutil. So Vitantonio does out-qualify his teammate this weekend.
Does.
Sebastian Buemi, Vitaly Petrov, even though he has his accident, qualifies 14th. Pedro De La Rosa, followed by Kobayashi in the two Saubers. And then Jaime Alguersuari will wrap out the second seven.
Q3 starts. Vitantonio Liuzzi is out first. He's pumped up. He's just out-qualified his teammate, and he wants to do good for VJ.
Yep. Well, there was a lot of talk in the last week or so that, you know, he was kind of on the bubble as far as maintaining his seat. But I think he's maybe kind of displaced that worry for the time being.
Just takes a couple of races and everything changes.
Exactly. You just got to out-qualify your teammate once. That buys you like two more races.
Or a new helmet. I think it's
exactly. 5 minutes into the session, it was Robert Kubica at the top, putting in a really, really good lap early in the session. Lewis Hamilton, Rubinho doing really, really well.
Right.
And of course, Jenson Button and Mark Webber. And with 3 minutes to go, there was an interesting session between Jenson Button, who had to back off because Felipe Massa
decided he wanted to slow down to set up his next lap. And you know, what, 3 years, 4 years, 3 years ago, 4 years ago? That would have been a penalty.
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, you know, when, you know, was it Fernando that got dinged for slowing down, you know, 300 yards ahead of Felipe and he got a penalty?
Well, there's a lot more leniency at Monaco simply because of the shortness of the track.
Just because of the track.
The street race. So, and I think altogether this year, because of the hoopla that happened at Spa between Kimi Raikkonen and Lewis Hamilton last year.
Right. And I think also the fact that you throw a driver on the board, things tend to get a little bit more even playing, a little bit more even playing.
Exactly. And I don't want to say that the stewards are on pins and needles, but they are a little bit standoffish when it comes to divvying out penalties,
yeah,
which I think is fine.
Yeah, I don't mind. You know, I prefer to see them do them for true infractions rather than kind of looking for a reason to get into the mix.
But don't forget that the spectators certainly got penalized because Jenson Button went on a rant about how he was blocked. Felipe Massa, what is he thinking? I mean, Jenson Button every week now has some kind of...
It's because he
filibuster.
Yeah, well, he's up there on the point standing, so he thinks he needs to, you know...
Well, it certainly doesn't do his reputation any good about whining every week about something.
No. All the champs do that. Fernando used to do that.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. Fernando's very flamboyant and waving people off the road. Get away from off the road. He did that a lot.
Get that from in front of me. I am the champion.
Exactly. So yeah, I think but that Jens has
is
a
justified.
That.
So in the end, of course... Nico Rosberg looked terrible in Q3. Couldn't put it together. You could tell he had lost his rhythm. And I was just puzzled at what happened to Q2 and then to Q3 for Nico. Because for a moment there, he looked really good. Front row possibilities.
Yeah, definitely. Not nearly the kind of laps he was throwing down in Q2. But he does end up qualifying in sixth. Out qualifying again, his teammate Michael Schumacher on Michael Schumacher's home track, so to speak.
Sixth isn't going to cut the mustard in Monaco, Stephen.
No, it's going to be very difficult to
And
to
even
win
the McLarens, who a couple of days ago said they were gunning for a win, a victory in Monaco. I certainly thought they had the possibility watching the McLarens in Spain looking fairly strong, Lewis Hamilton out driving Jenson Button, but still.
And then basically in line for a podium spot until... The wheels come off.
Yeah, but still, McLaren couldn't put it together, and they could only manage sixth and eighth.
Yeah, really tough for them. Then Rubinho, who was looking kind of racy, ends up in ninth. Vitantonio in tenth. We kind of would expect that. But, I think, frankly, the real surprise is not that we end up with a Red Bull on pole.
Well, I think the biggest surprise is how Mark Webber, who's been in Formula One for quite a while, has now, this season, put it all together, including reverse cage rattling with Sebastian Vettel, who is an outstanding young driver, who we expect to be rattling Mark Webber's cage, and it's completely the opposite.
Exactly.
Mark Webber in the last two races has been absolutely outstanding, and once again, Mark Webber puts it all together. He's in the zone, and that final lap where he went even faster was outstanding and gets pole, a well-deserved pole. And of course, Robert Kubica.
Yeah, he actually out-qualifies Robert Kubica by 0.3, which I think is one of the largest gaps that we've seen so far this season for pole versus P2. Robert Kubica in P2, kind of a dark horse. No one really expects the Renault to be this quick.
I expected it, Steven.
The majority of the pundits say. And then Sebastian Vettel qualifying P2, or P3. Felipe Massa will join him on that row in his Ferrari. Expected a little bit more out of the Ferrari, but he wasn't that far off the pace. He really is only out-qualified by Vettel by really half a hundredth. To lose to that spot. And
right.
Then, as you mentioned before, Lewis in fifth, Nico, followed by Michael with Jensen in eighth, and then Rubens and Vitantonio.
So, yes, fantastic qualifying for Mark Webber and Red Bull. Once again, they're just outstanding and unbelievably quick.
Cream of the crop. It doesn't seem to matter much for them as to whether it's a slow turning track or if they're along fast straights. It doesn't seem to make a lot of difference. They're just quick.
That's true.
And then, of course, first three cars starting the race, all powered by the Regie.
Renault.
I thought Felipe did better. I thought he did better than he has lately. I think he was happy that Fernando wasn't
Of course
wasn't
he would
out
be
there.
Happy.
Yep, then all of a sudden he gets a little perkier.
Not only that, but he was still fourth, not on the front row. So I mock him and laugh at him. Just kidding, guys. But to know Felipe Massa has to do something with the rumors swirling Now it's Mark Webber going to Ferrari.
Oh, please.
I mean, everybody's going to Ferrari to replace
Felipe. It's the driver of the week.
And it's not fun for a driver to have to listen to these kinds of rumors every day.
No, he's sensitive. So
he is very sensitive. So there you have it. Beautiful qualifying. Let's go right to the Grand Prix race. Beautiful, gorgeous day. Flavio Briatore is there.
He's out on his yacht, right? Because he's not allowed at the track.
Yeah, he is. He had a pass per Bernie Eccleston.
I heard a rumor that Kimi might have brought his boat up in.
He did. Kimi was there as well.
Yeah. He was anchored in the harbor.
Yeah.
So and everybody was happy.
There was Mick Jagger. He was there.
Yep.
Michael Douglas, the actor, was out.
Michael Douglas goes to a lot of Formula One races.
Yeah, he does. Because he's married to a Welsh girl. Maybe he's a honorary Briton, sort of.
I think he's just a hip dude.
He's hip.
Jennifer Lopez, too.
Jennifer Lopez was looking quite scrumptious.
And her husband, that other guy.
That short little guy.
His name is Mark Anthony.
Oh, yes. Mark Anthony.
Yeah. You know, Cleopatra's lover.
Ah.
So
she does have kind of a Cleopatra look to her.
Not really. But no, a great race. Let's go right to the start. And let's not forget, Fernando Alonso was starting from the pit lane. And when I was thinking about this, I'm going, why not just start from the back of the field? So you can attack. Right away.
I think there was something rules-wise that indicated that he would have to start from the pit lane. I can't remember what the exact
No, I think it's voluntary.
No, I think he chose to go there. It's probably just so because it is so many cars coming, off the start, he probably just wanted a little bit more breathing space.
Well, he got plenty of breathing space.
People crash ahead of him, and then he can come out.
Anyway, the lights go out. Great start by Mark Webber.
Great start.
Sebastian Vettel and Felipe Massa trying to get by Robert Kubica. Robert Kubica has to deal with both. He says, okay, I'll let Vettel by block Felipe Massa. And it was for Monaco, it was a pretty clean start for everybody.
Oh, phenomenal. The fact that we actually get off the line and down the first, through the first two turns and we don't lose anybody.
Which is shocking. And this is happening more and more this season, is where you expect chaos, carnage, and it doesn't happen. It's a very clean start.
The drivers are skilled. These are a good group of drivers.
You believe that?
And I think we've got, basically the rookies are really kind of stuck at the back of the pack so that they're not kind of getting into each other like we've seen a lot. David Coulthard's no longer on the grid. And I think they're being a little smarter. I think the drivers are thinking before they try to make a move.
Well, not only that, I think there's a lot of talk in the drivers' meetings where some common sense is drilled into everybody.
Yeah.
Clark, what did you think about Robert Kubica? Did you think he kind of slashed across the track a bit?
Well, the first thing he did was try to block Sebastian Vettel, and that could have been a mistake instead of gunning for Mark Webber.
Right.
But, I'm not there in the car, in the situation, and, everything is going on so fast that I would never critique.
Yeah, kind of tough, too, because the Red Bulls are going to get off the line a little bit quicker. He tries to squeeze Sebastian Vettel, but Vettel's got just enough on him to make it not give him the ability to do it, but he is able to slide back and keep Felipe from getting him also.
Yeah, because Felipe is already in third place. Yeah. He's basically alongside Robert Kubica, but Robert Kubica goes up the hill, that slow left, and is able to nudge and get in front of Felipe. Yeah. It was well done, and I think that was the right thing to do. You don't want Felipe in front of you.
Right, you don't want to give it up to Felipe. Sebastian's probably going to be able to get you later.
Especially since you'll probably be driving the Ferrari next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, right.
As everybody says.
So you basically want to outdo the guy that's in that seat now.
Exactly. Great start. Sebastian Vettel, like I said, on Robert Kubica, I thought that was well done. He's a bit frustrated these days with Mark Webber just doing an outstanding job.
Yeah. Well, basically, Mark Webber has kind of learned his lesson from Malaysia and basically just not giving any opening to Sebastian Vettel as far as letting him get in front of him, because he knows that if he does, he's going to chase him the entire race.
Exactly. Now, Jenson Button has a terrible start.
Bad.
He drops down to P11.
Bad.
And all of a sudden, the yellow flag is out. We really don't know what's going on because it was such a clean start. And it was Nico Hülkenberg who had some kind of problem in the tunnel before the tunnel even curved. And a lot of people are assuming that it must have been a mechanical problem because it's really not that complex. No, a right-hander in the tunnel.
Yeah, something. I never heard whether or not it turned out to be something broke on him, or what. He did end up, you know, sliding down the wall quite a bit, broke off some pieces, ended up in the middle of the road. Who knows? We end up with our first safety car.
Exactly.
Quickly. Well, trying to be a theme this weekend.
First lap. It's the third time that he's gotten out on the first lap. So, and there's not that many races. So it's kind of a pattern for the youngster.
But he's so talented.
I know.
He's won every championship that he's entered.
No, he's very talented. He's just got to pull it. He's got to pull it together. I don't know what he's doing.
Well, anyway, the safety car comes in. I mean, is out. And Fernando Alonso says, you know what? I'm going to go to the pits, get rid of these soft tires, and he goes with the hard compound.
Yep.
Which was the smartest thing to do.
Yeah.
He got his tire change done. He's set for the race.
Exactly. Rubens Barrichello has a pretty good start, and he's up three places to sixth. Sutil is up two places to 10th. And Button is basically the guy who gave them those spots. He's down to 11th.
And I think Michael passed Nico.
Michael did pass Nico. Nico is having a bad day. He dropped the P8. Eee. Lap 2, Jenson Button is smoking.
He was having a Kimi moment.
Yes. Jenson Button slows, comes to a stop, smoke bellowing out of the engine cover. Ladies and gentlemen, his day is done.
Yeah, they were saying that apparently he was having some issues with overheating before the race even started, and the safety car basically just finished.
Well, not only that, but the team left one of the
covers on the...
Exactly.
No,
that's why
not good for your radiator.
Well, the problem is the covers for the intakes are painted the same color as the car, so it looks nice and neat in the garage, but apparently they forgot to take one out. And with the slowness of the safety car, it cooked the engine.
And on the Speed Channel coverage, they got to talk to him, and it came out later that he might have been told that something was already left under the bonnet, as they call it, and he might have known this might have happened because they can't touch anything once it leaves.
Exactly.
From the garage, they can't touch, even though they know it's there. That must be so frustrating, knowing that something's stuck under the bonnet. They need to take it out, but they can't because of the regulations, and it's just only a moment of time.
Well, if they know that, why didn't he pit under the safety car to get it taken out?
It was too late. He didn't have a chance.
Yeah. Too late. Yeah.
Anyway, lap 3, safety car, still out.
Yeah, they're having a little bit of a challenge getting Hulkenberg's car out of the top.
Well, not only that, but they're worried about debris. A lot of debris on the track. Some of the teams hear from their drivers stating that there's still a lot of debris on the track. Be careful. You don't want to puncture in Monaco.
You don't want to cut a tire.
The other big problem, the safety car is still out, lap 5. Brake temperatures are dropping. Engine temperatures are going up.
Speed up that safety car.
Tire temperatures are dropping, which means tire pressure is dropping. So when the safety car comes in, you've got to manage all those variables before you get out of control.
Got everything back up to temp before you get really crazy.
Exactly. Lap 6, the safety car is announced. It will be coming in on this lap. And, of course, a fantastic start again from Mark Webber. He's off!
Well, he sets up Vettel pretty well and then basically just puts a big old gap in front of him as he goes back down through the start finish.
Exactly. Lap 7, fast lap of the race. Mark Webber with a 120.4. And Fernando Alonso is already in P20.
And he's getting close to Luca.
Luca de Grassi, not letting Fernando by. Trying to be a tough guy.
Is Fernando waving at him?
Give him like 4 fingers.
Give him the single finger salute.
And Luca looks like he really had to hang on to keep that car on the road. It's a little bit squirrely.
lap 9, Fernando is all lit up. He's excited. And the team even has to get on the radio and tell him, cálmate, por favor, cálmate. Because, the Latino thing was just boiling to the top. Yes. Especially after he scored a goal in the soccer match earlier.
In the day?
Yeah.
All fired up.
Yeah, he was all machismo.
And Barrichello's managing to start his own frame in front of the two Mercedes.
Yeah. Lap 10, Fernando Alonso passes Luca di Grassi.
Right after the tunnel, that spot, that's like the only spot you can pretty much pass at that track, right after the tunnel in the two little wiggly chicanes there.
Yeah, chicanes, yes. I don't know about wiggly.
They wiggle.
But there you go. Fast lap of the race. Mark Webber with a 1:18.519. Lap 11. And Fernando Alonso says, see ya, the Yarno Trulli. Fast lap of the race, Mark Webber, 1:18.325. It's Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, Robert Kubica, Felipe Massa, Lewis Hamilton, Rubinho, and Schumacher. Lap 13, fast lap of the race, Mark Webber, the 1:17.979. Felipe is still fourth. And I'm thinking, you know, Felipe better do something if he wants to keep his job.
Well, the other thing, too, is that he's not challenging Kubica.
Which I was surprised about. I thought the Ferrari would get up against the Renault quickly.
Yeah, I was really kind of surprised too. But you know, you almost get the feeling that Felipe is playing it safe to get his points.
You believe that?
No.
Playing it safe? Fernando Alonso doesn't play it safe. Fernando you make mistakes sometimes, but in the end, you keep your job.
Yeah, the team was telling Fernando on the radio, like, good job. You know, they were giving him kudos. Well done. Looking yeah. good. You know?
They were going, bravo, bravo, bravo. Fisichella. And then they go, oh, that's the wrong tape. Fernando Alonso passes Timo Glock. Mark Webber to Sebastian Vettel, 5.3 seconds. Lap 15, Fernando Alonso is all over Heikki Kovalainen. Following lap, it's good night, Mr. Kovalainen. I'm out of here.
And guess where he passed him?
In the chicanes?
The spot.
Right after the tunnel.
Yeah, in the new... Oh, yeah, that was a good pass, too. Good for you, Fernando. Lap 16, fast lap of the race. What a surprise. It's Mark Webber, the 1:17.784. Mark Webber to Sebastian Vettel, 7 seconds. Lap 17, Lewis Hamilton pits. 5.4 second stops. He goes with a hard compound. Comes out ahead of Fernando, el hombre muy macho de España. And on lap 18, we see Mercedes getting ready for a pit stop. We see them get ready for a pit stop. We see them get ready for a pit stop, and there's no pit stop.
Somebody's not listening to their radio.
I'm not sure what was going on
there. Or not reading their board.
Lap 19, here we go. Felipe Massa, Michael Schumacher, Rubens Barrichello, Vitaliano Liuzzi, all pit. Michael Schumacher pits and leapfrogs Rubinho. And he says,
thank you, Ruby.
Enjoy the memories.
Remember yes. me? Yeah.
You silly hound dog. It was good stuff. Lap 20, Nico Rosberg. Finds his rhythm. Fast lap of the race with a 1:17.538. Sebastian Buemi pits. Lap 21. More pits. Robert Kubica. And this sort of freaked me out because I see Robert Kubica is pitting and then Vitaly Petrov is pitting.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And I'm going, but they were able to get Robert Kubica out quickly. So by the time Vitaly came in, problemo.
Yeah, they may have basically timed it that way.
Yeah.
Or Vitaly basically came in a lap early.
Well, I don't think he came in a lap early, but it was a tight little squeeze there, and I was impressed that they didn't stack the stops.
Yeah, almost stacked, but not.
Exactly. Lap 22, Nico Rosberg, fast lap of the race with a 1:17.445. And by the way, news update, news flash, Fernando Alonso in P10.
Yeah. Into the points already.
Oh, yeah.
He is much
easier. One third of the way through the race, and he's already into the points.
Quickly, for everybody's knowledge, the speed limit in the pits in Monaco is 40 miles an hour.
It's because it's such a short and tight pit.
But that's why the low
really slow
limit.
Yeah.
Fernando Alonso is now catching Lewis Hamilton. Lap 23, Pedro de la Rosa pits, and it's a really long pit stop.
Apparently they're having trouble with one of the wheel nuts.
Yeah, there's some wheel nut issues in the pits these days with the young teams.
Well, that and, you know, I think because we're on the two tires, the rims may be getting a bit hotter than they have been, so the nuts are more likely to
you
jam.
You are so forgiving. So forgiving.
Well, the other issue, too, that could be happening is they've got the auto locks now on the wheel nuts. So I suppose there's always a possibility that when you go to stick the pin in there, it doesn't trip the lock and nothing happens.
Keep up the good work, Steven. Lap 24, Timo Glock stops off track, suspension damage. Robert Kubica is right behind Sebastian Vettel. Vettel, I think, made a mistake, cut the chicane, and then Robert Kubica was just boom, right there.
Right on his butt.
I wanted to go back to Pedro's, his long stop. It caused his car to die in the overheat, and then that was it. He never left again.
Yeah.
It was over.
Yeah, Pedro de la Rosa, you know, I know he's giving it his best shot, but I don't know. Sauber, the Ferrari engines, even though they haven't blown up in the past few races, they've got some issues.
Not working really well in that chassis.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And Pedro needs to get to the DNF chapel because his luck is just junk.
No, I think they need some new young guns.
I think so, yeah.
Well, Kobayashi is fine. He's been making some mistakes, and he's not, excuse me, he's not the Kobayashi that we saw at Toyota for the last few races in 2009, where we were all excited and freaking out and going, wow, who is this sushi monster?
Right, yeah, well, I think he had a little bit better car.
It's possible, yeah. I agree. The Toyota, at the end, was a probably a pretty good Formula One car.
It was one of probably the top five cars, easily. And the Sauber has pretty much kind of continued the trend that we saw in BMW at the end of last season, kind of a downward trend.
And BMW knew that. That's why they ran with their tail under their legs.
That might be part of the reason that Mario pulled the plug.
Lap 29, Fernando Alonso, P6, ladies and gentlemen. Do I need to repeat this? P6 from 24th. Yes. There is a reason.
Yeah. Well, it just shows that the Ferrari is a quick car in the right hands. And excellent strategy to use that first safety car to put on the hard tires. Because it makes dispatching the guys at the back of the field easier. And also, he's going to gain places during the pit rotation.
Not only that, but let me put it this way. He's P6. He's made up 18 spots. Where's Felipe?
Two seats ahead of him.
Still in fourth.
Still hasn't gained any spots.
Keep up the good work, Felipe!
Well, Robert Kubica is holding him up.
And then, you know, while I'm excited about Fernando, Kobayashi is stopped somewhere on the track. That's what the computer tells me, and I'm going, where? And I can't, you know, I couldn't figure it out. But we finally found him out there.
I still don't know what happened to him. I just put a circle slash through his name.
Circle slash. I like that. Lap 30. Vitaly Petrov pits. Fast lap of the race, 117.372. And of course, that's Mark Webber, I believe.
Yeah, Mark's just running away with it.
Lap 31, Rubinho. Not sure what happened there. It looked like a puncture, but man, he's got a good crash.
Yeah. He can crash a car like the best of them.
Well, and of course, here comes the safety car. But my favorite moment, and I don't know what he's thinking as a professional, you know, the oldest dude.
The most, man most from races the sea.
It's like, dude, you've been driving these races for, what, 280-something Grand Prix?
Father he takes time. The steering wheel and just chucks it out of anger and frustration.
Isn't that a big old fine?
Not only that, but the steering wheel, which costs 20,000 euros, then gets run over by Lewis Hamilton.
Or in a
And you don't even see it anymore. It got sucked up by Lewis Hamilton because he's probably going to sell it on eBay or something.
Why not?
Yeah, because when he crashed, he was 180 on the track, facing in the middle of the track. It was a bad crash.
And I understand, you know, he's trying to get out of the car, but you don't have to chuck the steering wheel 20 feet, and it's debris on the track.
Dude, if you're going to chuck it over the fence, not out onto the track.
It was just bizarre and comical at the same time.
He should know better. I know. His Latin blood, I guess, kind of boiled up at that point.
It was certainly something blood, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And real quickly, I want to mention that David Coulthard in 2008, on display at the Autosport car show in February that Nasser goes to occasionally. David Coulthard's car was there on display, and somebody stole the steering wheel.
What?
And he had to buy a new one from the team.
Oh my gosh!
20,000 euros.
And he's Bam-o! And he's Scottish. He doesn't like to let go of his money. So I bet he didn't like that.
I don't know what you're insinuating.
Should have insured it.
Exactly. So safety car is back in on lap 33, and then Vitaly Petrov needs to move over. he got caught up in the front, and a couple of blue flags were waving. And I know it's not that easy to move over, but Vitaly, you need to move over. And the team finally told him, Vitaly, move over. Let everybody go by. Because he'd been lapped. Lap 35, once again, I want to reiterate, Fernando Alonso, 18 spots up.
How did he get in sixth? I have a question mark because I wrote that. You know, he's
it's
a
called
piece
professionalism.
Of, I'm like, well, he's got amazing.
Himself. He'd gotten himself up to almost 10 before the pit rotation started.
Yeah, because he pitted on lap one.
It was right. The pit was during the pit safety strategy. Car. There you go.
So everybody had the pit. He did not.
That's right.
And that was, you know, once the safety car came in, Ferrari knew that this was, you know, the silver lining.
Get the tires off, get the hards on there and get him back out there because, you know, he hasn't lost any position yet. May as well get him out there. He can catch back up under the safety car and we should be good to go.
Lap 37, the team starts telling Lewis Hamilton to take care of the tires. Lewis.
Look after the brakes. The brakes. Yeah.
Just take it easy. And Lewis Hamilton just starts freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
What is going on at McLaren between Jenson Button's whining and Lewis Hamilton, who, during interviews, is loving, talks about heart and passion, but on the street, you know, he tells the team, so what do you want me to do, race or take care of the tires?
Yeah, he said, what the hell?
And this is a family show, Steve.
Yeah, not only that, but it's like, Lewis, ultimately it's your decision.
Not only that, but it's a team effort, you know?
Yeah. You know, we already have one car out, Lewis. Do you want both cars out? Just get no points?
It was quite shocking. So, yeah, I mean, first Rubinho throwing his steering wheel, then Lewis Hamilton raving and ranting.
Cursing. It's fine because he got some debris from exactly. Rubinho's steering wheel in the brakes.
Exactly. So, I mean, you got to love it, though. To be honest with you, I love this stuff, and I'm glad these people are doing this because I don't want too much loving and kissing.
Not only that, but Lewis is having one of those kind of seasons where it's like, is this kid okay? Because, you know, those first two seasons, he seemed all calm and mellow. He was always even keel. In this season, he's just been all over the place.
Exactly. You know what that's called? The cage. The rattle. Yeah. Lap 39, fast lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel with a 117.3. And then all of a sudden, Robert Kubica says, oh, no, you don't.
I can rule fast lap,
yep,
too.
Lap 40, fast lap of the race. Robert Kubica, 117.036. And he's putting pressure on the Vettel.
The Vettel.
That's yep, right. And I'm not talking about the bottled water. And then Mark Webber says, okay, it's my turn. Lap 41, fast lap of the race, 116.828.
Who's your daddy, he says.
Yeah, pretty much. Lap 42, I'm concerned. Fernando Alonso's been on these tires for a while. He got the new tires.
And these are the medium compounds. So.
Well, they're calling it medium hard compound, but I have to give it to Bridgestone. These tires are not wearing out very quickly at all. These are actually pretty good.
Yeah. Well, typically the compound that they pick as the hard compound is a compound that you theoretically, if you're not too abusive, can run the entire race with. That's basically the way they choose.
Well, Fernando will run the entire race with this. He will not stop
one,
again.
All but one lap.
And every time the safety car comes out, that makes them all go slower, so that preserves his tires a little bit more.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
A little bit. I agree with that. Keep up the good work, Des. Lap 45. The safety car comes out. And I think that was lap 44, actually. And I'm going, now who wrecked?
Yeah. Actually, was that because Yarno tweaked, or was that because they were like going, well, wait a minute, maybe that drain cover came up from Barrichello's guy.
Exactly. Apparently a loose drain cover. So they get the TIG welder out and go,
zap, zap.
Over in the turn three, or Massenet, as it's called, was where the drain was loose.
Correct, and that is where Rubinho had his little spin and decided to throw things. But it was quick. Car came in on lap 45. Lap 46... good start from everybody. Robert Kubica has a bit of a little wheel lock right there. I saw a little puff of smoke, but not too damaging to the tires. Lap 47, as Lewis Hamilton is beginning to push Felipe Massa, Felipe Massa makes a mistake and cuts the chicane, but really doesn't gain a position. So
doesn't gain advantage.
Exactly. So it was okay, but he better not do it again.
Yeah, he'll get
or Damon Hill will point him out.
And then they were started mentioning in the speed broadcast that they're only halfway through the race, and it's already gone like an hour or so in time.
Hour and 12 minutes,
I think.
So
they're thinking, we're going to run out of time before the end of the
race. Yeah, the old two-hour mark. Let's hope we don't get too many safety cars, but they are so time-consuming. Lap 50, fast lap of the race. Mark Webber says, we're not going to hit the two-hour mark. We're going to get this done on time with a 116. 1:56.5. Lap 51, at 1:16.3. And on lap 52, the team gets on the radio. Your buddy, Schmedley, tells Felipe Massa, tires are good, no degradation, and use the front wing adjustment tool. Come on, get out there. Machismo-ness, please.
I know he needs a life coach every race, it seems like. They have to tell him how to drive.
And he doesn't get text messages from Michael Schumacher anymore.
Yep.
I don't know, but, I bet you Felipe Massa after this race might have thrown his steering wheel too.
I don't think so.
No?
Okay. Luca has very strict rules about that kind of stuff.
That's true. Okay, he threw a television. Thank you.
Maybe threw a steering wheel through a television.
Lap 53, fast lap of the race. Mark Webber, the 1:15.999.
I wonder if a TV was sacrificed after Alonso's accident in practice.
One TV? Are you kidding? That's why they take your credit card number at the hotel for damages.
Mm.
Mark Webber breaks into the 1:15s. And then, lap 54 to 58, there wasn't much happening.
I painted my toenails at this point.
Yeah. Well, what a coincidence.
I noticed you're petty.
That's so funny. great people do think alike.
Yes.
Exactly. Keep up the good work for time management. Lap 59. Michael Schumacher trying to close in on Fernando.
He tried to catch up to him, keeping close. But yeah. Again, you're talking about a Ferrari versus a Mercedes on this track. The Mercedes isn't going to get enough advantage through the tunnel to get past him in the chicane.
Well, you never know. Lap 59, once again, Mark Webber puts in a 1:15.832. Lap 61, Bruno Senna pits, Heikki Kovalainen pits. Long pit stop. Another one of those real long ones. Was it a wheel nut?
No, I think it was something a little bit different because both cars end up in the garage.
Exactly.
When all is said and done.
I thought maybe they were sharing wheel nuts or something.
No, knowing the Lotus, it was a hydraulic issue.
Yeah, well, that's the most popular excuse.
Especially with the new cars.
So, yeah, we lose another one. Bruno is out.
Lap 62, Robert Kubica all over the bootay of Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah.
And they're having a hard time getting through traffic. And that's why they got held up a little bit. And that's why Robert was able to just nail Sebastian Vettel and get right up on his bootay. Lap 62, fast lap of the race. Mark Webber, 1:15.7.
Now that he's passed the traffic.
Yeah, he's pounding him in. The following lap, a 1:15.3. And on lap 65, the team does tell Mark Webber to look after the car and the brakes. You could start cruising into victory. And you know what? Mark Webber doesn't freak out.
He doesn't say what the hell.
Doesn't say what the hell or, who do you think I am? Am I amateur? Hey, I won the last race. Don't tell me what to do. Who's the boss?
Yeah, knowing Webber, he probably just double-clicked the mic just to let him know he heard it.
So, kudos to this guy. I like him. Lap 66, Lotus says Heikki is out of the race because of a bad gearbox. And apparently he had gearbox issues all weekend.
Bummer.
Well, that's...
This is one of the toughest...
4,000 gear shifts.
Yeah, exactly. This is one of the toughest weekends of the year on a gearbox just because there are so many shifts.
He still managed to donate a huge amount of money to Elton John's charity that they had. They had a fashion show, charity auction, and Heikki Kovalainen donated... lots of pounds, a lot of money.
So yeah, 300,000.
Humanitarian.
Yeah, it was a fashion show. Look to the left. Fashion show. Look to the right.
Taxes.
Yeah, so not in Monaco.
Well, Heikki doesn't live in Monaco, does he?
Yeah, I think he does. Scooby.
Keep up the good work, Clark.
But being a Finn, he probably still has to pay taxes in Finland.
Probably. Lap 71, Felipe Massa is now outpacing Fernando Alonso, and the tires could be the issue. But in the end, this late in the race, I think the tires, Bridgestone did a fantastic job. Felipe Massa has got to, he's got to outpace Alonso every once in a while, especially since Alonso started 24th.
Yeah, yeah. And Alonso's been on the same set of tires for
since lap one.
70 laps.
So there you have it. Very good. You got to love it. Lap 72, fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel with a 1:15.1. On lap 73... I realize that Force India is having a pretty good race.
Yeah, they're looking really good. Both cars.
They're going to get some points. They're going to finish the race. No stupid mistakes. No crashing.
They're like
and no Kimi Räikkönen
now.
To run over Sutil.
No Kimi Räikkönen to slam Sutil out of the race in the chicanes.
No, Force India this year in general, I think they're not back markers anymore. They're mid packers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good.
Absolutely.
Good
keep
them.
Up the good work. Lap 74. Jarno Trulli is now pressuring Karun Chandhok, trying to get by, trying to show some testicular fortitude. Unfortunately,
on the next lap, he really pressures him.
Yeah.
Tries to squeeze him underneath his car completely.
You know, that was a scary pass.
That was a scary accident.
Scary moment.
And I felt sorry for Karumi. I mean, he puts his hand above his head trying, I mean, you know, 600.
Like you're gonna stop him.
Block an instinctive move.
Yeah. But yeah. Still, very scary.
Yeah, listeners, Jarno crashes into Karun Chandhok and he goes over like sideways over the top of his head. And
thank God for the roll hoop.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. There was some debate whether he even got hit in his helmet a little bit.
But everybody's okay.
Very similar to the accident in Australia, 2 years ago, where was a Coulthard that went across, I don't remember whose car it was.
Oh, that was my favorite.
That was really scary.
Alexander, yeah.
Wasn't that Jarno Trulli?
It's Alexander Wurz.
Alexander Wurz. Keep up the good work, Dez.
I pay attention.
Another zero.
Might be why Alexander only races cars with enclosed cockpits.
That's right. Keep up the good work. I like that. Lap 75, of course, because of this big accident. We have
a safety car.
Exactly. I think the safety car had to pick up some fuel.
They probably had to gas him up.
Because wherever they were crashing, they have so many cranes, you know, around the circuit.
It's very well done.
It's very well done. But they happened to crash at the spots where there weren't cranes. They were at the Memorial Schumacher Memorial Chicane area when they crashed. So it took a while. I mean, it took the whole rest of the race for them to move the cars out of the
circuit. It took them a little while. The cars were sort of connected and it was messy.
They barely could get by the other cars.
And don't forget, it's a short lap, you know, 2.076 miles.
You don't have much time
before they start coming by again.
Yeah.
It's barely over a minute at this point in the race because of the fuel loads.
Exactly.
You know, Mark Webber.
Even when they're fully loaded, it's a second and a half. It's a minute and a half. Yeah.
So the safety car stays out. But on lap 76, I was bummed. Vitaly Petrov... I mean, we only have a few laps to go, but he pits. Apparently, there's a problem. He's out the brakes.
Yeah. Kind of rough, but not necessarily too bad because he wasn't necessarily in the points. He will classify, but...
And of course...
Kind of would have been nice to have him finish a race.
So everybody's behind the safety car. The safety car will come in right before...
Right on the final lap.
So then the cars go around the corner and take the checkered flag.
Right.
And of course, this German guy, very famous, Schumacher.
Sure, and loves to do things that are a little out of the ordinary.
And of course, he's still bitter with Fernando in 2006. Decides to pass and make a pass on Fernando. And to be honest with you, at first, I thought it was all on the up and up.
Yeah.
The pace car had gone in. They had crossed that pace car white line. Fernando was just crossing it when Schumacher gunned it and passed him, where Fernando lost the rear end a little bit right there, which was the reason that the opportunity showed up for Schumacher. Schumacher passes, and all hell breaks loose from sea to shining sea. Of course, the Mark Webber wins the race, a fantastic race for Mark Webber. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Another 1-2 for Red Bull as Vettel finishes second.
A great race for Robert Kubica. A total Renault podium, which makes me pretty giddy.
Yeah, Sebastian Vettel got fastest lap of the race, so he pipped out Mark Webber from getting the Grand Slam, or whatever they call it. Yeah. So he had a
hat trick.
That was on lap 72 with a 115.1. Keep up the good work, Monsieur Vettel. But the talk after the race... was the Schumacher pass on Fernando. It didn't stop.
He's a sneaky. Schumacher is a sneaky.
Yeah, and then you start getting everybody kind of going, well, was it legal?
Well, you know, Ross Brawn was ready to go with the stewards. He had a stack of evidence, pictures showing the cars, where they were. He had screen captures of when the yellow flag was up, when the yellow flag went down, when the safety car went in. He was convinced that Schumacher was in the right. But the biggest problem...
But there is this little rule.
And the rule is...
Ferrari must...
The safety car is on the last lap.
That's basically the finish order.
You finish the way behind the safety car in that order. You do not pass.
Yeah.
Period.
You can't. It's basically it. What it amounts to is that if it's the final lap and it comes in on the final lap, it's basically like it went through the start finish line. You can't pass.
It's, right. It's like, you're like you're still under
behind.
Yellow.
You're still behind the safety car going through.
Well, there you have it.
It's just to get the. They just don't want the safety car winning the race.
Well, Schumacher was interviewed post-race. He was convinced that he was good.
Uh-huh.
And the only problem was that the F1 driver this weekend, who was the contributing steward, was Damon Hill.
Yeah, it just happens to be Michael's biggest fan.
And even Michael, when they mentioned it to him, he giggled a little bit,
mm-hmm.
knowing what he had done to Damon.
Yep.
And... But no, there it is. He was handed a 20-second penalty, which means that Schumacher...
Yes. Article 40.13 of the sporting regulations, which states that if the race ends with the safety car is deployed, it will enter the pit lane at the end of the last lap, and the cars will take the checkered flag as normal without overtaking.
Well, there you have it, Mr. Schumacher. You've done it again. controversy.
He's a bad boy.
Last I heard, Braun was appealing the 20-second penalty.
But there's no way they can win. It's
they don't really
stated.
Have a win. The only thing they could maybe hope for is that they'll just reset the final finish order, and Michael will get that seventh place. But don't hold your breath.
I agree. But it was very interesting. We haven't heard from Fernando, his thoughts on this. Of course, I want to quickly mention... On the midweek show, we will have the GP3 in Barcelona winner, Alexander Rossi, interview. It's going to be outstanding, ladies and gentlemen. You got to stay tuned for that. Quality stuff, of course, by Nasser Hamid when he went to Barcelona last weekend. So stay tuned for the Alexander Rossi interview, GP3 winner. And he dominated that.
Yeah, he had a really good race. Yeah,
unbelievable. So keep up the good work, Alexander Rossi. Keep up the good work, Michael Schumacher, for keeping us entertained every day.
Wouldn't have been a season if Michael Schumacher hadn't done something to get himself up before the stewards.
Well, at least he didn't do any valet parking, but sure enough, it happened in Monaco, and that's where I'd like it to happen. So anyway, it was Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, Robert Kubica on the podium, a Renault podium. Felipe Massa started fourth, finished fourth. Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso making up 18 spots in sixth place. Michael Schumacher, who gets a 20-second penalty, goes down to 12th. Nico Rosberg, Adrian Sutil, and Vitantonio Liuzzi, and apparently
Sebastian Buemi actually moves up to gain a point
and gets a point. So keep up the good work, Toro Rosso. And it was all a lot of laughs.
Yes,
yeah. I enjoyed this race immensely.
Mark Webber looked ecstatic.
Absolutely,
he was loving so it. Happy. Prince Albert gives him the.
And then,
the
of course, they all went to the Red Bull swimming pool. Remember the swimming pool where David Coulthard jumped in? And
it's the floating. It's a floating party boat.
It's on the top. No, it's the swimming pool's on the top of the motorhome.
I thought it was on the top of the motorboat.
No,
but okay, yeah.
No, wheels. No
wheels.
Boat.
No boat. Okay, they have a.
But the whole team jumped into the pool. Mark Webber took the trophy and submerged it in water. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it.
Can't be good for the wood base of that thing.
Well, maybe it wasn't wood.
Those Aussies.
Well, it's probably finished such that, you know, you just wipe it off. The water will never get inside.
I don't know. It could have been one of those green trophies, you know, yes, where it's all...
We have four of the cars that classify in this race. Jaime Alguersuari in 12th. Vitaly Petrov in 13th. Karin Chanduk finishes 14th. And Yarno Trulli 15th. Kovalainen, Senna, Barrichello, Kobayashi, Degrassi, Glock, De La Rosa, Button, and Hulkenberg all retired or stopped on track. So far, the biggest carnage of the season as far as cars out in the race.
Yeah, lots of attrition. Quickly, give us the championship standings.
Championship standings.
For the Drivers' Championship, surely I will.
Thank
now,
you.
With Jenson Button going out in this race, he was in first. He's dropped down to fourth. Now in first place in the Drivers' Championship, Mark Webber with 78 points. In second is Sebastian Vettel, also with 78 points. Third place is Fernando Alonso with 75 points. Jenson Button, as I said, is fourth at 70. Felipe Massa, 61 points, is fifth. Robert Kubica is sixth with 59. Also having 59 points is Lewis Hamilton, but he's in 7th. Then we have Nico Rosberg with 54. Michael Schumacher has 28. And Adrian Sutil is 10th with 18 points.
Actually, and that's what's great is... And
that's actually... That's pre-changes, though, because Schumacher ends up with 22, Sutil with 20.
You're right.
So keep up the good work, Steve. And quickly, I want to mention that Mark Webber, who's tied with 78 points with Sebastian Vettel, wins if it ended today because Mark Webber has 2 wins.
That's right.
That's how it wins.
He has the tiebreaker.
Exactly. So keep up the good work, Mark Webber. Outstanding drive. I absolutely loved it. Let's quickly go to the wrap-up. Any last comments on the Monaco weekend?
It was just très joli. It was beautiful.
Oh, I just love the Schumacher thing.
Yeah,
right on the last lap.
Gotta throw it in for us.
Okay, now we've got 50 words on the Monaco Grand Prix. This is from Kehe Sen. Weber shows last week wasn't a flash in the pan after all. Barrichello throws his toy out of the pram. Schumacher gets past Alonso just when Fernando thought the race was over. But will he hear more about this move? He does. Des?
50 words from Lapped Traffic. He says, Alonso drives an amazing race to come from pit lane to finish in the points. The only really interesting thing to watch during the race.
From Miguel, even with little or no overtaking, Monaco is always stimulating. Weber has now done 2 perfect races in a row, and his bid for the championship is a very serious one.
And from Leon Bray, says, 2 flawless performances in 2 weeks. Going to be a great season. Probably the best race this year with a whole bunch of people trying to overtake. A great tantrum from Rubinho, and some great double-decker parking. Pity about the regulations.
Frank Douglasson, antiquated Monaco as dull and obsolete as ever. Ferrari's great strategy provides the only interest. Can't wait to get back to a real track.
And from Koala. Hi, Koala. He says, Mark Webber shows he's a serious championship contender, consistently faster than Vettel all weekend. If there had been no safety cars, his cumulative lead would have been over 35 seconds. Then he also says, enjoyable race to watch, lots happening, and we saw a flash of the old Michael Schumacher, even if the stewards did not like what they saw.
Interraptor writes, 30 years after Alan Jones, another Aussie aims for the championship. Red Bull is 1-2 in the championship. Kubica again gets his Renault where it doesn't belong, and great strategy from Ferrari to get Nando into the points. New teams? What new teams?
And from Motor Racing Fan, Mark and Sebastian celebrate the 1-2 in the Red Bull swimming pool, then the harbor. Christian Horner keeps his clothes on instead of wearing nothing but his Monaco Superman cape. Fernando's 9 million pounds thumbs can't keep him out of the wall. Ridiculous FIA ruling puts a dark cloud over an otherwise great weekend of racing.
Iceman writes, Renault power rampant in Riviera. Webber's Red Bull has wings and flies to Monaco win. Vettel minimizes damage in second. Bravo, bravo, Kubica, for final podium spot. Safety car extravaganza helps Alonso recover from disaster in free practice 3. Silly rule undoes cheeky last lap by Schumacher. Maybe? Now a 20-second penalty? Bad stewards.
And this is from Ye, and Ye, it's not 50 words here, it's more like 5 words. But Ye says, Dear stewards of the Monaco Grand Prix and Damon, you are wrong. Period.
Keep up the good work, and thanks to the forum.
Actually, we got one more, Clark, from Francois Tavares. He writes,
Well, we can't.
Great victory for Red Bull in a car 1.5 seconds faster than anyone else. In the last lap, Schumi showed he's alive again.
Okay, we need to get together here, you know.
I'm sorry.
If I say it's over, it's over!
Yes, mine hair.
Exactly. Schumacher. Schumacher. Quickly, this wrap-up was brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. Your host personally recommends House Rules by Jody Picoult, The Big Short by Michael Lewis. To download your free audiobook today, go to audiblepodcast.com/F1 Weekly.
Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, simply go to CameronKarting.com. Quickly, I want to mention my Facebook and Twitter sites. We've dropped MySpace because nobody goes there anymore. Just do a search and make us a friend. If you'd like to advertise a cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank Desiree for showing up as our guest co-host. Steve, keep up the good work for an open mind. I enjoyed this race thoroughly. And, of course, we'll have more on the race, more details, more quotes from drivers. And don't forget the Alexander Rossi interview with Nasser Hamid coming up on the Midweek podcast. And, of course, he's the winner of the GP3 race in Barcelona last week. I want to thank everybody who listens. Good night.
Good night.
A tout à l'heure.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.